In this episode of Movie Rollers, we're going to review Sabotage and Oculus. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yasji as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. I'm getting a little low energy now. It's 10:30 at night as we're recording this.
Oh, is it? Okay.
An hour past my bedtime, as we always say.
Yeah, that's
say.
Right.
It really is.
So, look, this will be a kind of a gentler episode of Movie Rollers. Well, it depends on how the reviews are.
I was going to say, we're reviewing an action movie and a horror. End on a good note.
Indeed.
So should we jump right in?
Talk about, which one do you want to go to first? Sabotage or Oculus?
Which one? Yes, you decide.
Sabotage.
Okay, who's introing?
I am.
Okay, go for it.
So in Sabotage, Arnold Schwarzenegger leads an elite DEA task force that takes on the world's deadliest drug cartels. When the team successfully executes a high-stakes raid on a cartel safe house, they think their work is done. Until, one by one, the team members mysteriously start to be eliminated. As the body count rises, everyone is a suspect. Ding, ding, ding. So this is directed by David Ayer, and it's written by Skip Woods, and it stars Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sam Worthington, Terrence Howard, Josh Holloway, Joe Manganiello, and Dawn Olivieri, amongst others.
And David Ayer,
yes,
directed one of my favorite movies in recent years, End of Watch. He also did Training Day, which I thought was another very effective movie.
Yes.
So certainly going into this, I was pretty excited.
Yeah, and I was a bit almost like, oh, I can't be bothered to watch this one. And then Joe was like, oh, no, look, it's got David Ayer. So anyway, so Joe, why don't you go first then?
Sure. So again, I was certainly excited to hear about this movie. I think David Ayer has got a terrific talent behind the camera. He creates an atmosphere that I think a lot of directors kind of fail to do. He directs action very credibly, and he continues to do that in this movie. I think the action sequences here are very well done. Unfortunately, the movie to me was sabotaged by some awful awful writing, and I think this movie was set out to be something quite different from David Ayer's other kind of, you know, law enforcement type movies, but plot plausibility just seemed to go out the window. I mean, this was not believable in any way, shape, or form. The plot developments were just too far-fetched for a movie that I think was otherwise pretty well grounded in, you know, this kind of gritty, tough cop feel. So a big disappointment for me. I didn't hate it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed parts of it in the moment, but I just can't escape this overwhelming sense of disappointment.
Yes, Dee.
So like you, Joe, in 2012, when End of Watch came out, it was on my list of the top 10 movies of the year. And for the life of me, I cannot understand how the same person could have made this movie. I really cannot. And just bear with me. I think Sabotage is the worst kind of film there is. It really is. It uses violence as pornography. It is for people who get hard-ons by watching violence. I cannot abide by a film which uses grotesquery, you know, to entertain. What's going on here? It is a vile, nasty piece of work, and I seriously considered walking out of it after the first 20 minutes. I really wanted to walk out. I was the core of my being was distraught and violated by this movie. I hate it so much.
Wow.
I hate it. So, shame on them.
So obviously I had some Valium without knowing before I went into this movie. Because, you know, before the movie started, I was chatting, I can't remember who to, and I was saying, I would love to see Arnie act. You know, he's an older man now, and I'd love to just see him act. And I think Joe said, well, can he? I said, I don't know. But it would be nice to see him act versus doing
Say, can he? I said, I don't think he can.
That's true. Just doing, you know, action scene after action scene. And although he's no Ralph Fiennes in this movie, I think he does a reasonable attempt at acting.
He's good.
Yeah, versus just action. And I actually liked him, and I think he deserves some props for doing it. And I think overall, despite some huge crater-sized holes and sometimes very hammy acting by the female leads in this movie, I actually enjoyed this movie in the moment.
Why am I the only person who thinks this is just garbage?
I mean, it's not.
Don't you find the violence offensive?
You know, it's funny because as I was reading my introduction, I didn't read down to my third bullet point where I described that humans at times seem to be reduced to randomly placed piles of meat at certain points. And I mean, you know, this director knows how to do that, and he does it kind of very, very well. I mean, the gross-out moments in End of Watch, let's not forget them. There's a couple of scenes in there where we're involved in, you know, raiding a house, and it's almost horror movie, and it's... And when we discover what's been happening there, it truly is sickening.
I know.
And that same sense of disgust was achieved here, but it was gratuitous. And I think that's the key difference here. It wasn't in service of plot.
It wasn't.
It was the last Von Trier of violence, right? I mean,
I took it as... It's pretending to be an action movie, but really, it turned out to be more like a whodunit horror for me. It started to use those same elements of who's next, and he's coming for you, or she's coming for you, or it was.
And
so
that's the
I
problem.
Thought no, but for me, it kind of added some twist that I wouldn't normally expect from a what's touted as a sabotage action movie.
It's a genre mashup.
Right,
Is it a thriller? Is it an action movie?
Or is it a horror?
Is it a whodunit? Is it a horror? I mean, you know, what is it? This movie is none of the above, effectively.
Yeah, but I have nothing against ultra-violent movies. I have no problem with them. As long as there is a motive and a purpose to it, the only purpose to this movie is to entertain you. And it uses really wild imagery. I mean, the first scene of the movie is about this woman being tortured. He's watching this scene of a video recording of his wife being tortured. And she screams and screams as this person is torturing her. That is entertainment. Somebody gets nailed to the ceiling, you know, literally with nails. That's entertainment. Pieces of flesh, you know, somebody's searching for pieces of flesh on the road. I just find it... It's pretty sickening that somebody thinks that this is what people want to watch. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it really bothered me. So if it was making a big statement about the drug cartel in Mexico and how these truly heinous crimes are happening in Mexico where people are committing horrible, violent acts, I understand it. But for the purpose of this movie, it seemed unhealthy.
Funnily enough, I wasn't grossed out by that, Yazdi. I mean, to me, it did come across as... This crime happens, and clearly there's someone out for revenge, and they're going to pay the price, and this is how the price is paid. So it didn't bother me as much as it bothers you, obviously.
Anyway, sorry. Carry on.
I mean, I like the fact that there were some thrilling action sequences enhanced by GoPro cameras. But again, I actually enjoyed the fact that it was that mashup. So I enjoyed that kind of, you know, the action when it came. And I liked that it kind of had this other twist to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the movie started off, you know, pretty well. Again, I think Aya does a great job with these kind of action set pieces. And it starts off with a pretty good one. You know, there's tension in the scene and you know, you get the sense that there's, you know, some kind of a heist going on, although you're never quite sure until later on what is actually taking place. But nonetheless, it was intriguing. It's just, it started to unravel with all of the kind of the relationships and the connection between these guys because, and some of these characters were so horribly like flat and one dimensional. I mean, they were action movie cliches.
Yeah. Yes.
And the character, the female character in particular, I was hoping for so much more from her because, played by Muriel Enos. I was hoping for there to be so much more to that character than there was, but nope. She was the shot drinking, stripper pole dancing, you know, yeehaw rock chick that just didn't do anything else other than, you know, be this cliche woman in a man's world.
Yeah, and the same with Joe Manganiello. I mean, he was the same, like, I'm such a man,
right,
type character.
Maybe it's the script, or maybe
it was
the director.
It was the script 110%. And Aya is co-writer on this, so he is to blame. But the script is where everything was horrible.
But look at the world of this movie. You know, every man is this hyper-muscular, aggressive, in-your-face alpha female, alpha male. And every woman is either a stripper or a hard-as-nails, you know, tough ass who can stand up with the boys. Those are the only two extremes. Okay, either you're a stripper or you're one of the guys. And I don't like that way of thinking. And it's a very regressive way of thinking of human beings.
You know how I know it's a script? Because the same guy penned A Good Day to Die Hard, the terrible Die Hard movie that was. X-Men Origins Wolverine, which was a very simple, pretty poorly reviewed, even though I quite liked it, the X-Men Origins Wolverine. Hitman, Swordfish. I mean, this is...
Swordfish was good, but... But yeah, men are men and women in all those movies, I would say.
But this is some kind of a enhanced version of that.
Yeah.
Like the guys are, I mean, I to give credit where it's due, I think the movie I did enjoy in a kind of sickened way, you know, this camaraderie that this group of people had initially. And they were like, really, everybody was worse than the other. Everybody was like, you know, no holds barred.
Yeah.
I didn't buy any of it. What was Sam Worthington doing?
What is Sam Worthington doing in this movie? What is Terrence Howard doing in the movie? I hate to say this. He's like eighth or ninth build person in the movie. What's going on? What are these acts?
Maybe Rashmi said they needed a black guy in here.
Yeah.
Maybe it was End of Watch and they all wanted to work with David Ayer.
I would too. I mean...
And grossly sponsored by Chevy.
Yeah, there's a fair amount of product placement in here, but...
I think the only person who comes out of this with their humility intact is Olivia Williams, you know, who plays the female investigator. She was actually pretty believable, credible. She kind of, even though she's a cliche, she kind of did hold my attention, and she was believable. And it's a hard role, I thought. But
except she falls prey to, you know, Arnie's charms way too quickly for my liking.
Again, the writing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything more to say on this one?
No, let's wrap it up.
Okay, Yazdi.
So, you know, I've said this before. I seldom truly, truly hate a film. This film is offensive at every level. I mean, I truly hate it. It's the worst kind of film there is. I give it 1 out of 10.
Really?
I
really do.
Unbelievable.
Yes, I'm going to give it 1 out. It really bothered
me. I've never had you give a 1.
He's done that once before, I think.
No, I gave The Bling Ring 3 out of 10.
Yeah,
that was
I've
the other movie
one.
Which really bothered me. But this movie, I mean, it really offended me.
Gosh. Wow. Yeah, Joe.
So I wasn't offended. I was just disappointed, I think. Again, knowing what the director here is capable of and being a huge fan of the things that he's done in the past, I just felt that this movie was deliberately taking a different direction. It was, like you say, Yazdi, I think it was set out to be an all-out action movie. But these days, you know, as modern audiences, we just can't buy this kind of crap. And the flatness of these characters, the way that they all think so singularly... just didn't work at all. So I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10. I think that's somewhat generous, but you know, it didn't put me to sleep. It didn't make me want to run screaming from the theater. I think it had been Friday night. I know, it wasn't like Yazdi. If it had been Friday night and I wanted to see something somewhat mindless, I think this would have been a good payoff. So, you know, if you're going to see it in that context, you'll get what you pay for.
For me, it was an above-average action movie that tried so hard to entertain us. I think it falls shy of very good due to some really bad overacting by the cliche characters. I agree with you, Yazdi, and the hammy dialogue. But overall, I didn't think it was bad at all. I actually thought it was like a 6 out of 10.
I can see how this can be a 6 out of 10 if the movie was not setting the standard of this is what a gritty... balls to the wall movie should look like. I think it just keeps crossing that line.
I really like the twist. I like the twist, and I like the fact that it was a genre mashup. For me, I viewed it like a horror movie, to be honest, rather than an action movie. And I think if you take it as a thriller horror, then it's more palpable, and the flesh and everything kind of goes with that. That part of the genre for me.
If you take it as a thriller horror, you were more confused than the director and the writer were, because clearly they were confused when they were working on this.
Please
do. Let's move on to something that's not a mashup, which is the movie Oculus, which is really an out-and-out horror. So intro for this one is with me. So Oculus is the product of the mind of Mike Flanagan. His second movie... I'm not familiar with his first work, which is a movie called Absentia, released in 2012. He wrote and directed this movie, starring Karen Gillan, Brenton Thwaites, Rory Cochrane, Katie Sackhoff, who's probably the most famous person here from the Battlestar Galactica television series. And in short, the premise of this movie is... 10 years ago, a tragedy struck a family, leaving the lives of teenage siblings, Tim and Kaylee, changed forever when Tim was convicted of the brutal murder of their parents. Now, in his 20s, Tim is newly released and wants to move on with his life, but Kaylee is still haunted by that light, by that fateful night, convinced her parents' deaths were caused by something else altogether, a malevolent supernatural force unleashed through the Lasser Glass, which is an antique mirror that was in their home at their time. Determined to prove Tim's innocence, Kaylee tracks down the mirror, only to learn that similar deaths have befallen previous owners over the past century. With the mysterious entity now back in their hands, Tim and Kaylee soon find their hold on reality shattered by terrifying hallucinations and realize too late that their childhood nightmare is beginning again. So, Yazdi, you have not seen this.
Even as you were talking about it, it sounds like a True Blue horror movie, and I had a chill down my spine, and I'm glad I didn't see it. Tell me I missed out.
Well, Rashmi's newfound love of horror films.
Yes, I was saying watching.
Ended up taking us to this one. So what do you think?
Yes, so watching The Evil Dead followed closely by The Conjuring last year has really opened up that portal in my brain for scary movies. And so when the opportunity for the screener came along, I dragged Joe along to this one, and unfortunately Yazdi couldn't make it. And I wasn't disappointed by this movie. Ooh. I think this was an imaginative and smart psychological horror. And of course, my sample size of scary movies is only N equals 5 at this point. But I really enjoyed this.
Joe?
So...
Your sample size is considerably larger.
Yeah, I'm not a complete horror movie fan, but I think I probably have more horror films on my resume than the two of you. And... this to me was more of a thriller than an all-out horror, but it was a work of singular vision. It was exceptionally intelligent, tense, and at times very frightening. This is a very, very clever film. Hmm. I mean, really clever in terms of some of the ideas, concepts, and themes that it explores. And it's frightening at times, but it's more of a thriller. And Yazdi, we reviewed Enemy, I think, in our last podcast. You were discussing the idea of reality versus not reality, that whole kind of psychological mishmash of, you know, what am I seeing? Is the character... There are these ambiguities in this movie, and I think at the very end, I remain unconvinced as to what the whole story of this one was. I mean, was there something supernatural here, or was there something going on in the minds of the protagonists, or... Mm. Was the supernatural manipulating them? There were all these questions that the movie kind of raises, and I think it does it so cleverly, and it never commits to one direction or the other. There's twists and turns. I mean, really a very, very cleverly put together movie.
Is it a get-in-your-head scary kind of movie that
no.
you can't shake off?
No.
Is it PG-13 or R?
This is R. Okay. This is fully R. Well, I'll let Rashmi talk. But
no, I was going to say, you know what? I think the other thing is that it's good because, like Drag Me to Hell, it spends enough time letting you get to know the people that are involved in the situation, and it allows you to understand why they want revenge against these, you know, in quotes, malevolent spirits. It's by no means as good as Drag Me to Hell, because I think that's probably one of the best horror movies
ever.
There's
no humor in it at all.
Yeah.
I think Drag Me to Hell is intensely frightening, but... more frightening, more than frightening, it's funny.
Yeah, but you know, like you said, Joe, it's smart and it's really working hard to give you a little bit more than just the cheap thrills and jumps, which of course it's full of as well. But it's just really clever.
You have to be really paying attention to what's going on because, again, I keep drawing parallels to what you've just told us about Enemy, which is it's a bit of a mindfuck. And that's exactly what this movie does. It plays with your expectations. And it's almost dreamlike at points where, you know, that sense of, you know, having just woken up from a dream where what you thought was reality was not actually what was happening at all. Mm. It gave you that sensation over and over and over to the point at which you couldn't really predict what was happening in any given scene.
Right, right. And I think this is an example. I don't often notice things like editing or music, you know. But this is one where I really noticed great editing and judicious use of music that really helped this movie at times feel like it went above and beyond to be scary. Like it did scary in a slightly different way by the way it edited the movie. And the fact that at times there wasn't any music, but there are scary things happening. And I thought that was quite alternative, quite different.
Yeah, yeah. I think the only thing that let this movie down a little bit, I think, is the performances. I think Katie Sackhoff, I never quite bought her.
Go, Katie. I know. Katie.
I really liked her as Starbuck in the Battlestar Galactica series, but she didn't truly. She wasn't great here. Miscast is the wrong word, but
a little bit of overacting.
Yeah, yeah. I think she felt the need to really kind of amp things up. She played the mother of the teenage kids. And one of the, just reminded me of something else I loved about the movie, which is the way it jumped back and forth in time, because you had these events of 20 years ago and then you have the present day, and the movie just cuts back and forth between what's happening completely seamlessly to make you question everything that had happened before. And then things that happened in the past made you question what was happening now. So just, again, wonderful piece, a really well-crafted, I mean, I don't know how you come up with this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, when you sit there and you watch a movie and you're like, how do you piece this together? It's
because it's not faring very well with critics. I don't think it's doing well on Rotten Tomatoes. So I'm happy to hear that. At least that's my... And it certainly came without any fanfare.
100% on Rotten Tomatoes right now, but it's only had 8 reviews, so I think that will drop over time.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit like Ghost Hunters the movie at times. Mm. That's my only criticism. But it works in the movie. So
yeah.
Anything else or...?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm good.
Score and sum up.
So, again, I'm going to use my opening statement here. It is a work of singular vision. One mind came up with this, and I think only one mind could. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly effective. I think if you're not a horror fan, I wouldn't tell you to not watch this. You probably won't. But it's not the kind of movie that will fill you with dread for the next 3 weeks. There are points at which it's scary, but what's frightening in this movie is what the characters are experiencing, not necessarily
the big
bad boogeyman around the corner. And that's what's there. But gosh, do I want to give this a 9? No, I'm going to give it an 8. It falls just shy of that, partly because of performances, but really it's I can't wait to watch it again. I mean, I really do. This is the movie that I really want to watch again and scrutinize everything that's happening with some context and some insight as to how it all wrapped up to see if I can make more sense of it.
Mm.
Because at the time, it had me guessing at every single corner.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this movie builds and builds and then literally blows up in your face in an unexpected way. Be prepared to turn away from the screen and watch through your separated fingers at times. This is the perfect crazy versus scary movie.
Score?
Oh, 7. Good, okay. Solid 7.
Yeah, okay. Good stuff.
If not an 8, but I think it's a 7.
This guy has enormous talent. I mean, I don't. His other movie, Absentia, is one that I'll look up. But, you know, he's early on in his career, but he has enormous potential. It's so well constructed. It's so well realized in terms of the concept and the way it plays with you and the way it treats its audience and it builds and then destroys your expectations. Love, you know, really good stuff. So, yeah.
And horror is one of the few genres which is commercially very forgiving. I mean, if, you know, you don't need big name actors, you don't need big name directors.
Right.
You know, if it's a good product,
it pulls a crowd,
you get a lot of, you get a lot of business out of it. So hopefully this will work.
Yep. All right. Mail at movierollers.com, twitter.com/movierollers and facebook.com/movierollers as well. As always, too many movies, too little time. A very good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.